I'm Holly Richardson.
My name is Greg Skordis. Listen for the new Inside Sources.
One of the things that people don't realize about Utah politics, at the state legislative level, there's a lot of camaraderie and a lot of working together for the good of Utah. Inside Sources, weekdays from 9 to noon.
This is a show that a person could listen and learn something every day and say, you know what, I didn't know that this morning at 9, but I know it now. Inside Sources.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on KSL News Radio.
Welcome to the KSL Real Estate Show. Hear updates on the national and local Utah real estate markets. We cover residential and commercial properties. Plus, get inspiring ideas to make your house a home from our sponsor, Osmond Designs. Here's Heather Osmond and Jeff Kaplan on KSL News Radio.
Welcome to the Real Estate Show. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jeff Kaplan, along with Heather Osmond from Osmond Designs. Her stores are in Lehigh and Orem.
Yes, they are. And we are just coming off the Super Bowl of all Super Bowls. I call it the Utah Valley Parade of Homes, but we had 41 homes in the parade this year, and it was out of control fun. I'm exhausted. We did 5 homes personally in our store, and that includes designing, furnishing, you know, setting it all up, making it look like a model home, like a magazine, and then having everyone go through it. I don't know how many people went through the parade this year, but I heard we exceeded all expectations, whatever that means. But it was a really, really good time. Today, I'm really excited because joining me, we have Dan Evans with Summit Realty. Dan is one of the most knowledgeable experts on Utah residential housing market and probably some commercial as well. And today we're going to be diving into what's really happening in real estate across the Beehive State. Dan, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. So busy parade of homes, huh?
It was so good.
I don't know why it is. Why is Utah County the biggest parade of homes? Is that in St. George are usually the big ones?
It really is. And they actually have won national awards because of that. So that's kind of cool. What was your favorite home? I know you had the opportunity to go through some of these homes.
Oh, man. I really liked, can I say Builders or no?
Sure.
I liked the Grove Homes home on Annie Circle. They did a lot with that building lot. And then the Ezra Lee one up in Three Falls was pretty incredible. I mean, basically it's either Alpine or Southern Utah County. That's where the nice homes are.
It's so true. There were definitely some standouts. I know the buzz is all about the Crumble Cookie House, Sawyer, the owner, you know.
Wait, what? Explain this.
Yes. What? So the owner of Crumble Cookies had a home in the parade this year. They claimed it was $17 million. I think it was probably upper $20 million, $30 million. Incredible home.
Nice kitchen.
Gorgeous kitchen right in the Orem River bottoms. And then, of course, you were able to get a Crumble Cookie on your way out. So, you know, a little bonus.
Exactly. But it was that one. I forgot about that one. That one was unbelievable. It's one of those where you look at it and you say, that is incredible. Good for him.
Good for him. And I think Utah is known for such great entrepreneurs. And I'm so happy for him. And that was his dream. And I think he definitely nailed that dream. I know there are a lot of investors in Utah that love to invest in these homes. In fact, I think there's even investors that invest in parade homes and build those as spec homes. I think almost 50% of the homes this year were spec homes, which just seems so crazy. Of the 41 homes, I personally am aware of 3 of those selling during the parade, which tells you people are loving these homes and then they buy them furnished because they just, of course, don't want to take anything out.
They walk through and then they say on the way out, yeah, I'll take it.
I don't know if it's that easy, Jeff, but you know, maybe their wife says, we need that home. Figure it out when they go home.
Yeah, they went in looking at a home and they left it like, okay, let's do it. No, a lot of those people, they'll look at it for ideas or they'll be looking for a custom builder. And then I think oftentimes, and we were talking about this before, is people want things easy regardless of the price point. So if it's already built and already furnished, why go through 3 years of hassle?
It's just a question of moving in at that point.
Exactly.
And they want to, right? As quickly as possible. Dan, what are some of the pitfalls, things to avoid when buying a home, since we're on this topic right now?
Well, buying a parade home, foot traffic's a problem. I'm just
kidding. Your carpet's now hammered after 20,000 people walk through.
Yeah, I mean, holy cow. I think about that all the time in the parade homes is I walk through and I think, if this is someone's home, how are they feeling about every human coming in? But, you know, people like it. But yeah, so pitfalls, it's a common thing that we come across, especially in a market where you have a lot of homes for sale, but not a lot of sellable homes for sale, if that makes sense. And you get buyers who look at a home, and I would say I run across people who will say things like, I want a deal. And a lot of times the homes that are a deal are the homes that have something going on with them. So I thought I would at least just highlight a few of the homes or the styles of homes that I would personally avoid if you have the option. Because if you get it at a cheap option, unless you really improve it, your buyer's going to get it at a cheap price as well. So a good one, number one, always is double yellow lines. A busy neighborhood road or a busy road is always a major problem. Whenever we go to list a home, say by a major road, we call it a Google Maps issue is what we call it, where people will look online, look on Google Maps and then go, crap, that's right by a major road. But that double yellow line is a problem for resale almost always. We're not like California. We're not like some of these other states where you have large homes on the PCH and it's perfectly fine spending $20 million on those. Here we have the luxury of homes that are in private neighborhoods, not on busy streets where you can actually just enjoy your home. So double yellow lines are a major, major deal.
Yes, stay off those busy roads, regardless of how great that home is, location, location, location in Utah.
Everything has its price. I mean, is the idea that if you're going to list your home and you're on a road with a double line, you have to knock the price back a little bit. Are homeowners willing to do that?
Not always. I mean, when you meet with a homeowner and you're confronted with pricing the home, there are a select few that will simply just look at the price assessment and say, we understand it. But then when you get into pricing a home is you get usually someone knows a friend or a neighbor that is a realtor. Usually they have their own expectations. Zillow sometimes competes with the price. And so when you meet with a seller and let's say the home's $1 million and you look at the comparable sales and it's really 900,000, you're competing with Zillow. You're competing with competing agents who need the listing or want it and tell them a higher price.
Is Zillow a huge problem when you go in? Because I've heard that their valuations don't necessarily mean a thing, but that's the first thing a homeowner sees when they talk about selling their house.
Yeah. I was having a conversation with someone today and they were, cause the Utah real estate will show metrics on where people are looking at their home, like what cities are looking at their home. And we were talking about how most out-of-state buyers look at Zillow or even Redfin before they look at Utah real estate. Zillow, their valuations in Utah can be all over the map. There's a few issues with Utah. We're a wonderful state, but the issues with Utah are A, that we're what's called a non-disclosure state, which means that your sales price doesn't show up on county. It doesn't show up at all. And then number two is that we tend to count basement square footage where most other states can't count basement square footage.
And so they're using a formula that doesn't necessarily apply here.
Yeah, we are the circle in a square peg. And so it can sometimes screw things up.
In many, many ways. Yes, yes, we are.
But the non-disclosure state thing, it's a benefit. It's a really in the weeds thing, but it's a benefit because we end up paying lower property taxes as homeowners. However, it also gets it so that any major technology platform can't get universal data on what our homes are worth.
So what do you think the price range for the homes that are selling right now really are at? Is it the high end or is it the low end that's selling?
Every price range, well, let me take a step back. So every price range is moving right now. It's a matter of what your competition is and where you're priced within that category. When you look at what is selling right now, talking about the parade homes, if a home is in great condition and what people want and it's move-in ready, it is going quickly and it will go with two or three offers. Even now, if it's priced well and it's in mover, or if it's priced high and in move-in ready condition, it will sit and get some showings. If it's priced high and not in great shape, you are the highest bidder on your home and you're the only person looking at your home. And so right now it's a trend towards ease. And so there's no, you get a lot of sellers who have a great property And if you rebuilt it, it's probably worth more than what you can sell it for. But the reality is buyers want easy.
I think so, too. How do you feel like townhomes and condos are selling in comparison to single family homes?
They're still moving. I would say that category of buyer, 18% of those people are investors right now. And then the other 80% are first time buyers, usually sometimes parents buying for their kids. And that's a price sensitive group. So they're moving. But your main competition are builders like Edge Homes, Candlelight Homes, where they're throwing crazy incentives at buyers. And in fact, this spring was a terrible spring for home builders for selling their inventory. So they are getting even more dramatic with their price cuts and with their incentives on mortgage rates.
Are we seeing any shift in where people want to live, urban versus suburban or even rural?
Man, that's interesting. During COVID, you probably know this, everyone wanted a half acre or more of land. And now I think it's starting to trend towards just convenience is what people are looking for.
I agree 100%. Thank you so much for joining us today. Today we have Dan Evans with Summit Realty, one of Utah's real estate experts in the luxury home department. And I'm Heather Osmond, owner of Osmond Designs Furniture and Interior Design Stores. We're going to be right back with more on The Real Estate Show.
We're back with the KSL Real Estate Show, sponsored by Osmond Designs on KSL News Radio.
It's The Real Estate Show on KSL. Thanks for listening. I'm Jeff Kaplan. Heather Osmond is here from Osmond Designs. Her stores are in Lehi and Orem.
Yes, and I'm joined here with Dan Evans from Summit Realty. In this segment, we're exploring which Utah neighborhoods and cities are heating up and why some areas are booming more than others. But first, we want to talk about pricing. If you listened or still just, you know, continuing our last segment, Dan, you were giving us a spill on real estate, why we are where we are, what makes Utah different. We are a unique state and real estate values keep increasing. And it sounds like it's in all markets and all price points right now, correct?
That's correct. Yeah. And in Utah, I mean, everyone's special, of course. That's the era we live in. But pricing homes right now is critical to not only the amount of showings you get, the attention you get online, what your home sells for. Pricing governs a lot of it. I mean, you have two things that factor into the home price is the condition of your home, the upgrades you have on it, and then the relative sales in the neighborhood. So going into pricing right now, we are talking about how does a price happen on a home? And frequently, and everyone, you know, there's a lot of us licensed realtors around. Everyone, you know, it's a pretty easy industry to get into, but everyone knows two or three agents. And that's a great thing, except for the fact that I think we all look very similar to the outside public. In fact, my wife, when a year into being married, she's like, you know, I married you. I knew you were good at your job. I just thought you guys all did the same thing and you just worked more hours. And she's like, I found out that there's a big difference between what people do. So, and that was my wife.
That's a good answer.
That was a great first anniversary gift. what we found is that if it's, say, your neighbor or your niece or nephew or aunt or uncle that's an agent and they don't do a lot of real estate, you calling them to list a home means that they have something to do finally. And so you get a weird scenario where, like, let's say you had a doctor and that doctor had no patients and you were the only patient for the day. Would you be concerned about that doctor at all? I'd be very concerned about that doctor. Or you go to a restaurant and you're the only meal they've served all day. At some point, you're like, what's wrong with the restaurant? But in real estate, the aunt or uncle or niece or nephew is a benefit to a lot of people because they think, oh, I can probably get them for cheap. I know them. And it's just real estate stuff. So anyway, when we go to list a home, oftentimes the seller has a price in mind. The competing agent has a price in mind that's high because that will make them look good to the owner. And then three is you have the data from the neighborhood. And so when those three things combined, you see that 80% of the homes on the market tend to sit more than 30 days. And in fact, I think our average days on market right now is 72. And so what happens is 80% of the homes sit, 20% sell. That 20% are the homes that are great and were priced aggressively. And in today's market, aggressively means pricing it 3 to 5% below the last sale, which isn't exciting, but there's so much demand.
Wait, 3 to 5% below the last sale Of what?
Of the neighborhood, sorry, in the neighborhood.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
Yeah, and the common thought is, well, our home's so great and that neighbor's home is trash. That's usually what people say. So,
when every seller thinks their home is worth more than it is, and that's why you need an experienced agent that has been doing this for years and years, like Dan Evans at Summit Realty, because it does make a difference. Time is money, and if you have an inexperienced agent that is not knowing what's going on and is just trying to impress you and get the listing, you're not doing yourself any favors.
Yeah. And if you're priced too high, the very common thought is, oh, let's leave room for negotiating. And that's great when you're trading carpets or selling cars. And it's also great when you're selling cars that aren't in demand. But like recently I purchased a car that I was on a wait list for, and guess how much I negotiated that price? $0, because I was on a wait list. And so for me, I had to pay the retail price because I wanted that car. And it's the same dynamic with homes.
Let's go back to what you said a moment ago about homes sitting for 72 days. Now, I've been on this show for like a year and a half at this point. I've never heard a number that high. And even before that, is this like a record high for the 2020s?
Yeah, for the 2020s, that was a very nuanced question there, Jeff. Yes, for the 2020s, yes. Historically, not at all. But what we have is we have a combination of a lot of things changing, including technology, but it's a record high time for Utah. And a lot of it is that pricing homes really comes down to pricing it to where you have leverage and the buyers don't have leverage, and not looking at it as my neighbor sold at 300 a foot, so I should be worth 305 a foot. And so if you have the leverage, like with my car situation, buyers will pay retail price and sometimes pay even higher.
So is this a buyer's market now?
It's a buyer's market if your home's overpriced. If your home is priced really well, it's a seller's market.
It's so true. What are the hottest cities in Utah right now, Dan?
Right now, as far as where are people asking to move to?
Yes.
So in categories of buyers, let's talk about different buyers. So for established people with kids, you see Alpine, Highland, and Draper, and then even Provo. And coincidentally, those schools also are usually, so we'll go Temp View, Lone Peak, Sky Ridge, and Corner Canyon. Those are the three most popular high schools for athletics. So we get people coming in from out of state buying $3, $4, $5 million homes so their kid can go play sports at these schools.
How about for young people trying to start out, first home? What's going on there?
For young people starting a home, it's a rough market because things are so expensive. And it's hard to get into a home. I mean, money's not cheap, rates are not cheap, and prices are not cheap. But what we start out with typically with first-time home buyers is, hey, I want this, this, and this, a yard, a house, and they end up in a townhome or in a neighborhood. West Lehigh is one popular spot, and then Harriman, Riverton, and South Jordan are very popular as well.
Well, and don't you feel like people are just wanting something new as well? And so they're willing to drive just a little bit longer so that they can have a new home.
Yes, your well-built home that is dated cosmetically isn't going to sell.
So true. Okay, what about infrastructure? I know that's always a hot topic. Roads, schools, and shopping. That always affects how people move. For me, how quickly can I get to Costco maybe, or a Walmart, or one of those locations?
Exactly. We were talking about Farmington Station just barely. Cities where they have a major, say, commercial area or retail area, those are moving very well.
Today we have Dan Evans, Summit Realty, on the KSL Real Estate Show with us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the KSL Real Estate Show. Hear updates on the national and local Utah real estate markets. We cover residential and commercial properties. Plus, get inspiring ideas to make your house a home from our sponsor, Osmond Designs. Here's Heather Osmond and Jeff Kaplan on KSL News Radio.
Welcome to the Real Estate Show, and thank you for listening. I'm Jeff Kaplan. Heather Osmond is here from Osmond Designs. Her stores are in Lehigh and Orem.
Yes, they are. Please stop by Osmond Designs today. If you are out and about, we have an entire store sale going on right now where you can get 20% off the entire store off of everything, and it's all in stock. So bring your truck and trailer, take it home, and enjoy what you purchase. We have the most incredible sectionals, sofas, chairs, you know, all the good stuff that you need. Today we have Dan Evans with Summit Realty. Dan, I've known you for many, many years. You are definitely, in my opinion, and many other people's opinion, one of the top real estate agents in the entire state of Utah. Dan is one of those that is out there pounding the pavement all day long, every day. And I just really respect and admire you for that. So far, we've talked about trends and hot spots in Utah, but now we're going to be turning to challenges that buyers and sellers face in Utah's real estate market, and specifically pricing. Let's keep talking about that because that's so hard.
It is the number one thing right now. I mean, you look at real estate right now. If you look on Utah Real Estate or Zillow, pictures for the most part are really good. It's rare anymore that you see a janky photoed house where you could tell it's a person's finger in the lens kind of thing. So the pictures are not a problem. I think I see the description serenity, serene, tranquil, retreat on almost every single listing. So descriptions have all kind of become whitewashed. They're all kind of the same thing. What really differentiates a home in your price range is pricing. Pricing is the number one driver of everything. Doesn't matter how many times you say serene about your location, no one's going to go unless it's priced well.
You know how it's emotionally difficult for people to give up on the price that they had in their mind? Because, you know, you have so much invested in this house. It's your number one asset. And when somebody comes in and tells you, you have to let it go and you're being unrealistic, that you're doing a psychological experiment, aren't you?
Yeah, you get into trouble sometimes. And it's a fine balance between me and a seller of them thinking, and I've heard this before in my career, you don't believe in my house. And so we wanted to go with this agent who believed in my house as if it was a kid playing sports.
Please don't take offense at this, but I've been in situations as a young guy selling a house. You know, it was my home. And the real estate agent tells me to come in lower. And I say, oh, it doesn't matter to her because it doesn't cut her commission by that much. But to me, that's all my money right there. Baloney. Sell it for higher. Do you get that?
Oh, all the time. And you know, a good, I would say, analogy or comparison is when you go to sell a car, your car is worth what the condition and the miles on the car are. They don't care what road trips you took in it. They don't care how many dates you went in the car. They don't care even like how much fun you had in the car. All they care about is the condition and the miles. And it's hard to hear that about your house, but that's really what people look at.
And it really is an emotional purchase. And I don't think that enough people realize how important that first impression is as a buyer. When you walk in the home, if it smells bad, if the carpet is worn and old, if there are repairs that need to be fixed up, even, you know, the exterior, that'll make or break your house. And sometimes a buyer won't even come into your home to see all of the great things in your home if your exterior doesn't look great.
Exactly. And you can do all that work. And if you're priced too high, buyers are going to look at the home and pick apart the home. But if they perceive it as a value, then they look at all the great features and benefits they're getting on the home. And so that's the critical thing.
Can you put a percentage on things like the lawn is kind of messed up versus a pristine lawn? Is there a percentage it costs you for having a lousy lawn?
That's a good question. I don't know if I've put a percentage to it, but that's a good question. What I would say is we try to talk to sellers to have the mind frame of if a buyer walks into the home, they need to look at your home and say, how in the world do these people live like this? My house is so much messier than this house. Like that's the mindset you want people to come into, is an aspirational mindset of these people care for their home. They're good stewards of their home and it's immaculate. That's what you want.
Okay. Sometimes you have outdated furnishings. You have outdated kitchens. It can be a problem when it's time to sell, and it can certainly hurt the price. What are you supposed to do? Do you remodel before you sell and expect to reap benefits? Or do you just realize I'm not going to get what I want?
Yeah, it depends on the price. Well, going back to the car thing, is when you go to sell a car, you don't eat McDonald's in the car and then drive it to the dealership and say, hey, what's my car worth? Like you get it all polished up. You take care of the couple little dings that you've probably been living with for a while. And it's the same thing with homeowners, is frequently people will say, man, I wish we would have done this years ago. Our home looks so good. We probably shouldn't sell it anymore. It's like a joke, as you have to have it ready to go, but it makes a big difference in how people perceive it.
Okay. So once you get past the curb appeal issue, you get into a home, where should people be investing their money? Kitchens.
Yeah, kitchens. So your kitchen, master bathroom are two big ones. Sneaky ones that help update a home without updating a home are hardware and lighting. And they can both be very expensive. But the hardware and the lighting tell people how often you update your home.
What's hardware?
Hardware like door handles, hinges.
Cabinet hardware.
Knob, yeah, cabinet yeah. hardware, things like that. Those little things make a huge difference. I mean, I went through a home last week, and I'll just say that the owners were, we'll just say, fans of plants, like plant-based medicine, we'll say. Well, they're marijuana smokers, what they were.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I wasn't getting it.
Very politically correct there.
I'm like, what am I trying to do here? So anyway, so they're big kind of potheads, and it looked like a pothead house. And all I could think about the whole time I was in the home was these guys are potheads. Didn't pay attention to the home at all. And so you got to think, you don't want to also have a nickname when people are looking at homes. If you're looking at three or four or five homes, you don't want to be the pot home. You don't want to be the yellow house. You don't want to be the pink room house. Like, you don't want things where you get a bad nickname. You want people to walk in and they look at the exciting things about the house.
So many things. A lot of these ideas can be very expensive. But like you were saying, lighting, there are very expensive light fixtures and there are inexpensive light fixtures that can update your home in a very, very easy way. As an interior designer, those are some of the very first things that I notice when I walk into a home. And it does date your home. It tells the buyer immediately if this person does updates. The furnishings, Jeff, you talked about that. You know, if you have the saggy cushions, it just looks tired. It's been there for 10 or 20 years, and it really is a reflection of who you are as a homeowner and what you're taking care of. Summit Realty, Dan, you work there. How do clients navigate, or what recommendations do you give to clients to help navigate some of these roadblocks?
So it all depends on their timeline. If they have time to get their home ready to sell. So let's say we're talking to someone today and they want to sell in the fall. We'll recommend, number one, very easy to do, is if you have dated baseboards or you have dings in the wall. Like, I have little boys, my kids are 10 and under. We have dings in the wall, man, and we can't stay ahead of it. We try to stay ahead of it, but now we're on an every other month, we'll just repair stuff. And so that's the way it goes.
That's a lot of paint.
It's a lot of paint. But I mean, we basically, it's like trying to stop a river with your hand. It's just going
to
happen.
Can we go back to, what does a pot house look like? I'm obsessed now.
Okay, you ready? I'll give you some telltale signs.
The 1 minute of news now.
I'll give you some telltale signs of a pot house. So number one, lots of hanging, like reggae-ish looking banners. You'll have rooms where you'll have trays with incense burning or had burned. Typically you see, you know, some type of, this is super stereotypy, but like, you'll often see some type of a reggae poster or two, but usually what it is things tend to be like Eastern philosophy flags, Buddha type things, new agey little dream catchers. Like, you see that stuff kind of hanging around the house.
Now, there's no judgment in this. No. You're just talking about affecting the price of a house.
I'm talking like, you want someone to tell a story about Cheech and Chong in your home. That's how you decorate the home.
So number one for me is the smell. How I know, like, this, something's wrong in this house.
If it smells like pot, that's probably a pot house.
And really, when you're trying to sell your home, you just want to appeal to the masses, right? It should be very, very easy to do.
Yeah.
But there are some simple things. Item on my list is just repainting the garage.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. And we got way off topic.
The garage.
Yeah. Repainting the garage or even epoxying the floor goes a long ways. But, and then baseboards is another big one, where if your baseboards look crisp and clean, it's not a huge cost. It makes such a difference though. Especially if you're in kind of one of these white craftsman style homes, you probably need to either replace or repaint your baseboards. Window washing is another big one that you see. Windows with broken seals. If you ever see a window that looks kind of sweaty, that usually means the seals lost on that window, and replacing that window makes a difference.
No doubt about it. So lots of little minor remodeling things that you can do on your home so that you can help sell your home. What are some tips and tricks for buyers, Dan?
If you smell incense, it's probably a pot house.
There we go.
By the way, burning incense, I know it's actually a relaxing smell. I would just not suggest doing that.
You're going to sell your house. If you're living in your house, great.
Yeah. For a buyer, I mean, you have to look at resale ultimately. So double yellow lines we talked about earlier, power lines, big power lines. Now, in areas like Sugar House, there are unburied power lines, and it's just acceptable and it's part of the area. But if you're in a neighborhood like Sandy, Draper, South Jordan, if you have major power lines in the backyard, it'll be hard to sell. Another one is backing up to commercial property. That is a very tough haul to be backed up to industrial or commercial property and feel like you're in a private area. Another sneaky one, this is one that I've gotten pushback before, is in a hilly neighborhood. I live in a hilly neighborhood. You live in a hilly neighborhood. If you are the downhill neighbor and having someone bearing down on you and looking at your backyard, that at the time may not seem like a big issue, but no one likes to be watched. Now, if you're the neighbor looking down, depending on what you like, I guess that could be a great thing, I suppose.
Or maybe you just need to plant some trees.
If you're downstream, I would imagine you have to worry about or at least consider flooding.
Yes, 100%. My neighborhood 2 years ago flooded, half of it flooded during a rainstorm, and it was the neighbors that were downhill from other neighbors. Anyone that was an uphill neighbor or on the canyon, no problems.
Today we have Dan Evans. He's been telling us about tips and tricks on how to buy or sell wisely in the Utah market. Dan, always so good to have you, but stay tuned because we're going to be right back more on the KSL Real Estate Show.
We're back with the KSL Real Estate Show, sponsored by Osmond Designs on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Show. Thanks for listening. I'm Jeff Kaplan. Heather Osmond, we're having a great time. Heather Osmond is here from Osmond Designs. Her stores are in Lehigh and Orem.
Yes, and we always have way too much fun on the KSL Real Estate Show because it's almost always good news. You know, today we're talking about pot houses and all sorts of fun things, what to do to help you sell your home, but also what not to do if you are in the market to sell your home. Dan, you always have great stories. You have a story you want to share.
Yeah, I do. By the way, Jeff, one hot tip for you. If you have beads instead of a door, you're a pot house.
Problem.
Yep. That's another one. Anyway, okay, I'm done with that. So I just had an interesting story where this was a situation where we had a buyer with a need and we kind of rolled up our sleeves and it benefited our buyer. Is our buyer had a home he wanted to buy. The home was active on the market. He's running a startup, was waiting for his early seed funding to come in. And so while we were waiting for that to come in, we watched that home on the market. It was on. Finally, a bank approved him and we went to go and write an offer on that home, and the home had showed up off the market, canceled. And for the real estate nerds, canceled means that it's just off the market, maybe fired their realtor, but just done. Where there's other statuses that don't mean anything. So we saw that, we called the realtor and we asked him if we could still offer on it. Our buyers were ready to go. He said, we're not looking at offers. I thought that was kind of weird to suddenly cancel when they had shown it 30 or 40 times. And this is a $2.5 million home, really nice house. So anyway, I reached out to the couple of neighbors that I knew really well in the area. And I said, hey, do you know if these guys are selling anymore? He said, oh, I thought they sold it to someone. And he's like, I thought I was your buyer. And I'm like, no, my buyer didn't get it. So I got a little suspicious. So I looked up the owner, looked up their number, which I can when a listing is canceled. If a listing is canceled, the people are free game. You can talk to them. Called the wife. She said, we had an exclusion to our contract in the listing agreement and they are under contract on it, but they need to sell their house. So I found that out and I thought, well, the realtor lied to us, but I think there's a good chance that the home that buyer is selling won't sell. So we presented a backup offer to that home and the realtor has to present it. And this is after 2 weeks of him telling us they weren't interested. When we sent him that, he wrote a word that's another word for poop and said, okay, you kind of busted me. He's like, the sellers have a friend that put the home under contract. The home's never going to sell. And so we ended up going into backup position, which means that if the primary buyer falls through, the home's my buyer's. What I didn't know is that I knew that other buyer fairly well from another appointment or two, but I knew that guy didn't have the money to buy the house. So yada, yada, yada. We put in our backup offer. We get it accepted. And then earlier this week, our buyers got put in first position on that home and got that home because we were willing to do a little bit of digging. And we kind of called the agent out on his lie a little bit.
Does that happen frequently?
I don't know, but it sure made me think I need to probably check every time. So I would say if you're ever interested in a home and someone tells you not to offer on the home, the agent is ethically obligated and mandated to present all offers on the home.
And that's why you want to hire Dan Evans to be your real estate agent, because you are a tenacious hustler. And I love that description. Dan, you know, we've been talking about so many fun things, buyers, sellers, tips and tricks, also what is going on in the Utah real estate market, but also some remodeling tips. And we want to give a shout out right now to Central Bank, who is the proud sponsor of the KSL Real Estate Show. We love you, Central Bank, and they give all sorts of loans, new construction loans, first-time home buyer loans, residential loans, and of course, HELOC loans. So if you own an existing home, need to do some remodeling or some updating, definitely reach out to Central Bank. They have made Osmond Designs what it is today, because they also do business loans, and they believed in me before I even knew what I was doing in the furniture and interior design business. And I love, love, love them. So please check out Central Bank. They have locations all across the Wasatch Front. Dan, we have about 30 seconds. Anything else you want to share? How do people find you?
The best way, we have a great social media presence, Evans Team Utah Real Estate, or at Danimal Evans, which is a terrible name, but I still have it. And then my number is 801-372-3512.
Give it again.
Okay. So my phone number is 801-372-3512.
Dan, thank you so much for joining us today. Your insights into the Utah's market are so incredibly valuable. And I know our listeners have had so much to learn and have been entertained at the same time, which is why you're always fun to have on the show. For anyone wanting to buy or sell a home here in Utah, please call Dan Evans and his team at Summit Realty. They're a great place to start. Until next time, this is Heather Osmond and Jeff Kaplan signing off on the KSL Real Estate Show. Thanks so much for listening today.
I'm Holly Richardson.
My name is Greg Skordis. Listen for the new Inside Sources.
One of the things that people don't realize about Utah politics, at the state legislative level, there's a lot of camaraderie and a lot of working together for the good of Utah.
Inside Sources, weekdays from 9 to noon.
This is a show that a person could listen and learn something every day and say, you know what? I didn't know that this morning at 9, but I know it now. Inside Sources.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on KSL News Radio.